The epistle reading is from 1 John, the 4th chapter. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected in us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. Greetings to you all, fellow branches of the one true vine, Jesus Christ. That's my focus this evening in our sermon from John chapter 15. My grandmother had a small grapevine in the backyard by the garage. And I remember as a little boy enjoying going out there if I was at the right time of the year when the grapes were ripe. Just plucking them off and eating a lot of them. But I had no idea what was all involved in trying to maintain a grapevine. I remember when a vineyard was put in Maryville not too many years ago, and as it was all going in, I was amazed at the amount of labor that must have gone into that project. Left on their own, grapes will grow wildly and not produce that much fruit. But well-tended grapes can produce an abundance of fruit. Jesus uses this analogy. He compares the Christian life to a vine and a vine dresser, because he doesn't want us to live a wild and fruitless life only to be eventually thrown into the fire, but rather a fruitful life, a life that is drawn from him and then is shared with others around us. So let's begin, John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I especially wanted to pause on this opening verse of this chapter and especially notice how he emphasizes that he is the true vine. That implies and assures us that there are other false vines that we need to avoid. Last Sunday, Pastor Adel preached from Galatians chapter 1, and there we saw how Paul also emphasized the danger of another gospel. There are many places in the Bible where we are warned against those who would impersonate the truth and give us a false truth. And in this past week, in my eighth grade Bible class, I presented to the class three worldviews. The first was the biblical worldview, and that's what we talk about here every Sunday in all of our Bible classes. And we'll talk about more about that in just a minute. But I also taught them about the spiritual worldview and the material worldview. The spiritual worldview is basically all other religions that are devoid of Jesus. They don't need Jesus. In the spiritual worldview, there's a lot of emphasis on religious activity, but not on Jesus Christ as the source of life and salvation. In our first lesson, you heard Pastor Adel read from 1 John chapter 4. We read the whole chapter there. And I know John, the way he writes, it almost is kind of all over the place, but that's his way of writing. And he emphasizes several things there. He emphasized that we must test the spirits. And he's concerned in that letter about an emerging religion that later would be called Gnosticism. Gnosticism kind of thought of Jesus as a virtual Jesus, not Son of God in the flesh kind of Jesus. It emphasized knowledge. The word gnosis means knowledge. But he didn't like the flesh. And without liking the flesh, also there was kind of a de-emphasis on love, because love, real love, is a flesh and blood kind of thing. And we are in danger today of being drawn into the various variants of that religion that still continue among us. And what's really dangerous about it is it always goes by the name Christian, but it isn't Christian because it isn't Christ in the flesh, as John emphasized. And the problem here is that we too can begin to look at Jesus virtually. The COVID pandemic has set us up for this. And this is one of the things that pastors all over and churches are talking about. This temptation to avoid real flesh and blood church and instead only enjoy the virtual video church. That virtual video church serves a great purpose when that is the only way you can receive the gospel. Or if it's the only way to avoid spreading a disease or getting a disease, but when it becomes really primarily a matter of comfort and convenience, then we're falling into this spiritual problem of the Gnostic church. Real love means being with real people, real flesh and blood people, and that's what God calls us to. The other worldview was the material worldview, and I've talked about that a lot of times in other sermons and Bible studies. This is the view of the world that the only thing that is real is what is material, what you can touch and feel and see and so on. Idolaters of ancient times had a real need for an image of God to worship. Remember Aaron and the incident with the golden calf and the people of Israel. Today, this ancient idolatry continues among those who tell us that the Bible is really a myth and you can't really trust the truth in it. It's not like the truth of the real world, that is, for them, the material world. In their minds, the world matters. People matter. The economy matters. But the problem is that they deny the reality of the problems of this world. And so they always look for material solutions to spiritual problems. And the problem here is that a godless environmentalism will not save the world. And a godless capitalism will not save the economy. And a godless communism will not save people. We need all the things that God gives us, both spiritual and material. And that is found in the only true vine, Jesus. So let's turn to that, and especially these three things that Jesus emphasized: abiding and bearing fruit and pruning. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, we read in the last verse, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Jesus mentions abiding several times in verses 4 and verses 5, but here in this last seventh verse, he especially says, and my words abide in you. And there's the key to know what abiding is really all about. Jesus began his earthly ministry teaching and preaching. And when he came to the end of this earthly ministry, as we will soon be celebrating ascension, and Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father, he commissioned the apostles to go into all the world preaching and teaching the gospel. In his own day, in his own ministry, some listened and some walked away. And that still is happening today in the world around us. In John chapter 6, Jesus was getting into the real heart and core of what it meant to be a disciple and a Christian, emphasizing the obedience to the commandments, emphasizing the need for forgiveness, and emphasizing also the need to live by that grace in order to keep those commandments. And it was emphasizing the real flesh and blood nature of Jesus in this world and in this life. And some people were walking away. And so Jesus turned to his 12 especially and said, are you going to leave too? To which Peter beautifully responded, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Abiding is remaining and staying in the words of eternal life, listening to them, accepting them when they condemn us for our sins, and rejoicing when they assure us of our forgiveness, and striving to live a growing and life of increasing in faith and increasing in the fruit of faith. And that brings us to the second part of being a branch attached to the true vine of Jesus. And that has to do with bearing fruit. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. The Bible uses many images of plants when it comes to Christian faith. Jesus uses the image of crops, images of trees, and now the image of the vine. In our recent adult Bible study, studying the book of Galatians, we came to Galatians chapter 5. And in that chapter, Paul beautifully shows the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is the life that flows from the grace of God, beginning with those attitudes, but leading to the very kinds of good actions that follow from those attitudes. Love is basically doing all that God desires, even though it sometimes is messy and difficult and becomes even sacrificial for us. Joy is the happiness that we have in the forgiveness of God, but it's also the joy we get in our satisfaction for having done God's will. Peace is the unity we experience with God and with one another when we are all together attached to the one true vine. Patience is struggling in a sinful world and with our own sinful nature. And yet, as we sang in that first hymn this evening, God has given us his Spirit, and the Spirit dominates and controls all things in life for the Christian. Kindness is seeing people the way God sees them and working on behalf of their salvation, just in the same way God worked on behalf of our own salvation. Faithfulness is God keeping his promises, and it's also you and me keeping our promises. Gentleness is that great grace of being able to lean on God's strength in order to accomplish great things. Self-control is God's Holy Spirit always at work in our lives, putting down those sinful desires and that sinful nature that we have to live with because we are in this flesh and blood world. And yet, because of God's Holy Spirit, those things don't control us. So we abide in his living word. We bear fruit as that word grows and brings about changes of attitude and actions in all that we do. And then comes this last part, this pruning part. Every branch in me, Jesus says, that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. First of all, Jesus speaks of taking away the branches that don't bear any fruit. These are the branches that are not attached to the vine. And this is clearly Jesus' teaching, as he does in a number of other places, teaches about the reality of hell. He speaks about these branches being picked up and thrown into the fire. Many people do not want to hear about that doctrine and reject it, but they shouldn't. They do so in a mistaken way because they are told by the false teachers of this world that that makes God cruel. If there is some place of hell, then God must be cruel. But think about it in a different way. If God makes a good place, if God makes a new heaven and a new earth where we can abide with him and he with us and where we can experience all of his blessings, and that is such a good and beautiful thing to think about, then if that is true, then it must also be true that there is the opposite, that place where he is not and where his blessings are not to be found. And it is not that God becomes cruel because people choose that. The cruelty is in their choice. The cruelty is in rejecting God. And that is such a sorrowful thing that I really don't want to talk about it anymore or think about it anymore. But simply to know that God is good and he gives us good and wonderful things. And he does so much to keep us in that goodness. Sometimes he even comes to us and prunes us. I'll let Dr. Luther speak to this part of the sermon. I want to read a quote from one of his sermons from this very same chapter, John 15. You'll see how he writes in such a colorful way. He imagines a branch attached to the true vine, Jesus. And now the vine dresser is coming with his hoe and with his clippers. And this is Luther imagining what that branch is thinking. Ah, what are you doing? Now I must wither and decay, for you're removing the soil from my roots and you are belaboring my branches with those iron teeth. You are tearing and pinching me everywhere, and I will have to stand in the ground bare and seared. You are treating me with more cruelty than one treats any tree or plant. But the vine dresser would reply, you are a fool and do not understand. Or even if I do cut a branch from you, it is totally useless branch. It takes away your strength and your sap. Then the other branches, which should bear fruit, must suffer. Therefore, away with it. This is for your own good. You say, but I do not understand it, and I have a different feeling about it. The vine dresser declares, but I understand it well. I am doing this for your welfare, to keep the foreign and wild branches from sucking out the strength and the sap of the others. Now you will be able to yield more and better fruit and to produce good wine. We abide in the true vine by abiding in his word. We bear the good fruit of a good life based on God's good commandments. And also to do that, God prunes us back, allows us to face afflictions in our life in order that our faith might be tested and that his grace might be proven to us. We end this message by thinking again about that beautiful relationship with the vine and how we thrive on the vine. New parents are always afraid to hear these words, failure to thrive. It's a medical term referring to a baby that has been born, but for some reason is not growing, not increasing in weight or in length. And there's usually some nutritional problem involved in that. God loves us as a father loves his children, and he does not want us to experience failure to thrive. For that reason, he sent his son Jesus to abide with us and we with him. And he also teaches us to bear the good fruit that will bring others into that branch and into that kingdom. And yes, he prunes us along the way to make us bear even more fruit. But in the end, it is all a blessing to be the thriving branches of the true vine. In Jesus, amen. We rise.